This is the new Weight Watchers. It works for members like JoJo, who's learning simple, healthy habits, Sharia, who's making progress with meds, and Kim, who still gets to eat what she loves. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now, it's your turn. Watch your life open up. Watch your story shift. Watch what you're capable of. Watch it work. Get started today at WeightWatchers.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Welcome to the podcast from the St. Louis Sportists, an occasionally smart, always irreverent look at sports in St. Louis and beyond. And now, your St. Louis Sportists.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the St. Louis Sportists podcast. My name is Ron Cook and I'm joined by Doug Lansdowne.
Happy to be back. Hopefully we will not experience technical difficulties tonight.
Hopefully you will not be sent on an assignment in the middle of the episode. And here in his native habitat, his natural habitat, Mr. Keith Farrell.
Hey, cheers, everybody.
And when I say natural habitat, if you're watching us on YouTube, Keith is in the game room here at the Local House Bistro. So behind him, you see slot machines. Behind me, you see a dartboard, one of the electronic dartboards there. Yeah, This is exactly where Keith wants and needs to be. On tonight's episode, the St. Louis Cardinals face about 2 months of semi-spring training. What to do about the Nolan Arenado conundrum? And ESPN and NFL have joined in some sort of awkward matrimony. And finally, City swings back into action this Saturday. The St. Louis Sportists are brought to you by First Coast Steel Buildings, as well as the Local House Bistro. We're coming to you tonight from the Local House. If you listen to this show, enjoy this show, we would really love it if you'd give us a review or a rating on either Apple or wherever you listen. And please check out our Facebook page. And we have, did you know this, 1,488 followers. We're 12 people from 1,500. Who knows? We may send something to the 1,500th person.
That's a milestone.
Right? That's not bad. 1,500 followers. So with that, let's get right into our quick hits. Doug Lansdowne, what do you have for us?
Almost college football kickoff time, and we're looking forward to it. So I am really, really rooting for Clemson this year. I've always liked Dabo, and they have four players on their roster that came from the transfer portal this year. Uh-huh. I'm going to say everybody else in Division I football have four on each side of the ball that start, and they have four total.
So of their top 22, they probably have 12 to 14.
Yep. So, we talk about all the crazy stuff with NIL and the portal and everything. So, Dabo's still trying to do it his way. So I like to call out the coaches, and I'm rooting big for Dabo this year.
Hopefully you'll take game one off. That's all I have. That would be against LSU, folks. Uh-huh. Mr. Farrell, what do you have?
Well, last week I introduced ChatGPT to the sports conversation, and this week I asked ChatGPT a question, which NFL team is the closest to a soap opera? And I think this one was pretty obvious. Ron, what do you think?
I immediately went to the Dallas Cowboys.
And why? Well, I'll tell you what ChatGPT said. I'm Jerry Jones, larger than life personality, quarterback controversies, coaching changes, drama field, media attention, and they're known as the Kardashians of the NFL. So if that tells you what drama, how they define drama, there you go.
I loved when the receiver demanded a trade, and I read the quote from Jerry, and I could just hear it in my mind in his voice. Well, that's just a trade negotiation. that's just a negotiating point. Yeah, he don't mean that.
And things are so strung out in the media.
Oh yeah,
my God.
Yeah.
It's reason to what? There's 2-3 newspapers in Dallas?
And nothing will ever beat the time that Bob Costas asked him on the air. They're like, you know, you haven't made the playoffs in all of these years, and you've been the general manager. If someone else were your general manager, would you fire them? And he gave the famous, well, it's different. I've always worked for myself.
Of course.
So,
of course he did. Perfect.
When I watch a Cowboys game, at least once in my mind, I hear, it's different. So, but here a little bit closer to home, your St. Louis Cardinals, I seem to remember a certain sportist saying they're a 500 team. And hey, you know what? Keith, they're 58-58.
Yeah, that's whoever said that, pretty smart guy.
I think that would be Doug Lansdowne. So good work there. Currently 13 games behind the insanely successful Milwaukee Brewers. Oh, my. Cardinals are right now 5.5 out of the wild card. The Fangraphs playoff percentage, in case you're wondering, remember when we were doing that for the Blues?
Yeah. 5.8%. Oh.
Well, you're going to have better luck in here on these slots than you would be putting any money on that 5.8%.
Yeah.
Doug, what do you think of the current state of the Cardinals?
I don't know. I mean, it just feels like we're just out in the wind. So, you know, you talk about Milwaukee, you know, they've probably got 4 everyday players that are better than anybody the Cardinals have. And the Cubs probably have 3 everyday players. I mean, it's not that those guys don't give effort, and you see some glimpse of some of those guys that they have, but I mean, they do not have the players to win a division. Where do they come from? That's what I'm wondering. Where do the players come from? So,
and I love that their manager, Pat Murphy, Keith, says, you know, a lot of teams in the league probably can't name a bunch of our players.
That's perfect. You know, and that's, they're a bunch of young guys with some heart, some effort, some guts. And I look at this Cardinal team, and I see just so many strikeouts in that lineup. I mean, you just can't have that much slug without people getting on base. And, you know, it's still kind of a boring team to watch. The state of the Cardinals, and I had it here in my notes, and that is what's ownership's, where is their commitment? Is it to winning? Is it to putting fans in the stands? Because if you look at the Wainwrights tour and the Pujols Molina tour and all that sort of garbage, and now you're looking at the Mozeliak tour. I mean, it was because they're not doing anything tangible to really make this team better.
The t-shirt would be black.
It's just a sad state right now. And I think when Chaim Bloom takes over, I think he's going to nip this Arenado thing in the bud. I think this thing is over for Arenado. And I think you saw what happened. Hey, take this assignment in Florida. And I know you got friends and family out and on the West Coast. We're playing on the West Coast. But guess what? We're going to send you to Florida. Just stay away from our team. Mm-hmm. He could have gone to Memphis. He could have stayed in St. Louis. They shipped him out.
It could be another one of those that we've talked about before where Chaim says, Nolan, we're going to have a difficult conversation. You're not going to be playing for the Cardinals next year, and we need to figure out a way to make this.
It's time to get organized this new year with Menards. Update your closet system and add style today with Closet Culture. Choose from 2 closet finishes and 4 colors of shelf boards to create a functional yet stylish closet solution that matches your home decor. Check out all our Closet Culture closet kits or view our weekly flyer on Menards.com to see all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
It's happened because he has hit. And if you're interested, I mean, if you're really into this sort of thing, Bernie Miklas did a 35-minute podcast/video on his decline. He is having statistically his worst year offensively, defense, basically any measurable category. This is his worst year as a pro, with the exception of his first year, which was kind of a partial year.
Well, I go back to, I remember it's 3 years ago, Matt Holliday and Nolan Arenado were out in Oklahoma, and they were working on a new swing for Nolan Arenado. And it sucked. It's terrible. I mean, he got worse. And does this organization not have the guts to say, hey, whatever you're doing, it's not working. Go back. Go back.
Yeah. And that's one of the things, Doug, that Bernie said, that he doesn't want to think about a situation where you say, hey, Nolan, you're not going to be an everyday player. Because could you just imagine the shots of him sitting there kind of simmering on the bench? Because you get the feeling he wouldn't take that very well.
No, and, you know, I was his biggest critic before the season started. And then those first couple months, I mean, I was really happy with how he's acted and reacted. And you guys are up there closer than I am. I mean, is there a chance he would retire? Is the ego too big?
Income. Yeah, it's generational money.
The ego and the contract. He's got 2 years left on that deal. And right. So that's, you know, because Bernie actually talked about that too. You're like, hey, does he just walk away given where everything is? And he's like, no, not for 2 years with, and it does go down a little bit. I want to say like next year's $21 million, the following year's like $17. Okay, that's $38 million.
It's easy for us to talk about. It's still $38 million. You know, that's, you know, that's a lot of money still left in that contract. He's not going to walk away from it. I mean, I can see the Cardinals pulling a Mike Leake situation or a Dexter Fowler situation and, you know, eat about 90% of the contract just to get him out of the dugout. But, yeah. You know, yeah. It's either that or he's going to be embarrassed and he's going to have to go through the whole, you know, just fly like a kite out of bush.
I don't see him having a Lou Brock 1979 renaissance, unfortunately. Yeah. Hey, Doug, you and I were talking about, I know Keith said that this is a boring team to watch, and I agree with you 90% of the time, but man, those two games against the Dodgers this week were the Monday and the Wednesday were darn entertaining.
When that fourth inning was over yesterday, I thought they're going to get beat 15-1. I thought they don't have a chance in hell of winning this game. And then I started doing a couple more things. And I came back you know, I know it's those things that as diehard Cardinal fans, we hold out hope for, you know, and we see that. And I think we grasp at anything we can see on a day like that. And they were fun, but you're right. If you watch it for 10 games, you know, six of the 10 games, you're like, oh God, this is hard to watch.
Yeah, so.
It's a team that will take two or three from the Dodgers on the road, and it's a team that the Rockies will come into town and take two or three.
And shut us out twice.
Yeah, it makes no sense in the world. But that's where, you know, that's where we're just going to have some, you know, you got to play with this lineup. You got to send some people packing. There's too many holes in the lineup.
Yeah. And it's come up lately that if this is a runway season and if we're looking to find out what people can do, I think we know what Miles Michaelis can do. Is it time to make him kind of what Steven Matz was, your long relief guy, and maybe get someone else in the rotation? Like maybe a Kyle Leahy, you know, use him as an opener and stretch him out a bit.
It has to happen. That has to happen. You cannot continue to put the one of the league's worst pitchers in that rotation just to eat innings.
Yeah.
That's my gut feeling on that.
Doug, his ERA is over 5 for the last 3 years.
Well, I wouldn't have guessed it that bad. If you'd have said, what's his ERA in the last 3 years? I'd have said like 4.3. But, I mean, the other night, oh, my gosh. I mean, it's the old, you know, it looked like the Dodgers knew what he was going to throw.
There wasn't much soft contact to be seen.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I'm a big designated for assignment guy. So,
yeah.
I'm okay if a kid comes up and goes, 1-4? But you at least see if he can eat some innings and see what he can do and, you know, what he's got. So,
it kind of goes back to what I mentioned earlier. It's my gut feeling. And that is, why are you committed to this guy?
Right.
I mean, because Mike Leake, when he was with the Cardinals and he had his horrible moments, Cardinals shipped him out to Seattle, ate a bunch of his salary, big deal, just get away from us. And Miles sees this is the parallels are uncanny. And I think they just need to get him out of that locker room. I mean, what good is he doing? He's a veteran. Yes. Is he a good veteran? I don't know.
I don't know. Two words, Kip Wells.
Kip Wells.
Oh.
Yeah.
He went there.
Yeah. Hey, Doug, I know that you and I have had like ongoing conversations regarding Mr. Nolan Gorman. And talk about someone that looks like they've come around a little bit.
Yeah, I still don't know. I don't know. I worry about his glove almost as much as I do his bat anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. It does seem like his best position is hitter.
Yeah. You know, and is that because that they've been so non-committal on where they're going to put him and what they're going to do and stuff and everything? So, I mean, his bat is what it is. And in 3 years from now, his average may be 15 points higher and he might hit 12 or 15 more home runs. Yeah. So, but I mean, I don't like I said, his glove is what's really concerned me, you know, when he's got back playing some.
Yeah. And let's close out our Cardinal conversation. The numbers just keep getting more and more shocking. They're now 18th in the majors in attendance. But if I were looking for good news, the Yankees and the Cubs are coming to town.
You never thought you'd see the day where Cardinal fans would be outpaced by the visiting team.
But I was thinking about this, Doug, if you were going to say, gee, what are the two best teams that you could bring in August on a weekend to try to get attendance up? I don't know that you could do better than those two.
Those are the two you'd pick every time.
Yeah, because they both have like
great draws,
followings everywhere. And well, I mean, the Cubs fans are talking smack about, wow, what's happened? This place used to be full.
Makes the hair on the back of my neck stand.
Enjoy your moments. I almost had to check the box. You sons of the guns. There. Doug, we've talked a little bit about the Brewers, but I think the thing that a lot of people might not realize, man, they're stretching it out on the Cubs right now in first place in the Central.
You know, the Brewers are one of those teams, too. You know, every year they pick up a guy, and this year it's Andrew Vaughn. Every year they get a guy and reclamation project. Sometimes it's a pitcher, you know, last year, I think Colin Ray won 14 games and I throw harder than he does. So, every year they get one reclamation project, but they are young and athletic, you know, Bryce Terang and Ortiz and, you know, Perkins and Collins and those. I mean, they've got athletes.
They do.
Yes.
And they'll have them until they reach that point in their career where they're about to get paid or become a free agent. And then the Brewers will trade them for someone else similar. And we'll look at the trade and I can't believe they possibly got that trade done. Go figure. So good for them. And on the other end of the spectrum, Keith Farrell, the New York Yankees. Did you know the New York Yankees are in the last wild card spot in the American League after being swept by the Marlins over the weekend?
Oh, it should have everything to do with Paul Goldschmidt. The Cardinal, finally the Cardinal rub is rubbing off on the Yankees right now.
Yeah.
Actually, you know, it's interesting. They'll bounce. They always do. Every team goes through this funk and they'll bounce back. I think they'll be well ahead of where they are right now before the end of the season.
Doug, my mom, when she was watching baseball, one of her favorite things, and she would say this either on a bad error or when a team walked in a run, she would say, this is like Little League. Jazz Chisholm was a runner on first, and a pop-up was hit to the second baseman, and he got doubled off of first base.
You know, he does something like that every year. Every year he does something like that. So,
yeah.
And, you know, going back to Milwaukee, too, I was going to say and they are the smallest market of all the Major League Baseball teams. Did you know that? They are the smallest market.
That's interesting.
I didn't know if it was that. I thought Kansas City might be up
there. I did too, and I saw that a couple days ago, and I thought, well, I got to spit that out at the podcast because they are the smallest market.
Well, I'll throw this out for our buddy Rick Campbell, who listens to the podcast, because, you know, the Royals are going to Nashville. So, anyway.
Uh-oh.
I'm just having a little fun. Okay. Well,
did they finalize the stadium deal?
In Nashville?
No.
Yeah, it's closer to the one in Kansas City, yeah.
Kansas or Missouri? Did they finalize the stadium?
No. The Clark Hunt came out with this really obnoxious statement about how they were negotiating with both sides and they were looking for the best deal that would offer the greatest fan experience to the best fans in something that was written by someone like me. But I did love the fact that he was getting in GEA at Arrowhead every time he referred to that, because no one ever uses that, which I think is just absolute. It's the worst stadium sponsorship probably in the history. Well, no, the Carrier Dome, which does not have air conditioning.
Right.
And it has no end date. And there's one more. Oh, and it's a locked in fee. It never goes up.
Oh.
So I think that's worse. But then other than that, it's our good friend at GEAH.
Gia.
And so, and, or Gia, whichever. I don't even know.
I think it's Gia.
Yeah. You know, and I saved that. I put a pin on my radar in that because that was when they were having those storms last year, you know, and I kind of wanted to look. I saved it as Gia instead of Arrowhead. I think that's appropriate. So now that we've developed into, or now that we've moved on to football, I think it's time to tie up some loose ends. Mm. Keith Farrell, you and I were watching the MLB game at the Bristol Motor Speedway. It looked like a disaster from what we could see, and then we find people comparing it to the Fyre Festival because they were being served hot dogs with no buns and nachos with no cheese.
Well, to reintroduce ChatGPT into the conversation, I don't think our electronic wizardry brain was going to support it. Did we get any middle to lower class white men that's going to commit to sport now that they've done this?
That's a great question.
Pouring down rain. Uh-huh. There were puddles. I mean,
puddles
of water on that infield.
Yeah.
They were so dedicated to getting that game in. And then the sand that they were pouring over their puddles wasn't even close to covering up the puddles. I mean, the ball, it was, what an absolute disaster.
It was, Doug, I said it was the first time I'd ever seen them work on the field in the middle of an inning.
It was, you know, and then, you know, there was such a hype. And like he said, they were going to get it in come hell or high water.
And then
they played Sunday, and everybody's like, oh, yeah, they did. They did play that game. I forgot it was on or whatever.
Yeah, so. Nachos without cheese, hot dogs without cheese. I mean, this is a major venue down there.
But I will say the pregame thing that I thought was just the most possible NASCAR baseball moment was when MLB had Chipper Jones on the desk. And I'm like, that could not get more perfect.
Perfect.
Just amazing. Loose end number two, Missouri State for next year will play the Wisconsin Badgers. Their first game this year is against USC. They also play SMU. By my count, that's three far better teams than Mizzou will play in non-conference.
Kudos. I guess Missouri State needs a few extra, dollars in their football.
Oh, there was a big guarantee on that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We'll have to see that, how much they're getting paid for those.
I saw the Wisconsin number. I can't remember it. Doug,
are they traveling too?
Oh, yeah.
Traveling too.
Oh, yeah.
I saw it, but I don't remember. Yeah.
So when I grew up, and Doug, you'll remember this, I remember vividly in 1979 listening to the Missouri Tigers defeat the Notre Dame Fighting Irish 3-0 in the first game of the season.
Yep.
I remember them beating USC, and I remember my dad being upset with me because the game was on, and I saw an ad and knew it was on and didn't tell him. I'm like, oh, yeah, it was on Channel 27. He's like, and you didn't tell me? I'm like,
I figured you knew.
But man, it was fun back when Mizzou used to play a kind of big non-conference. And I know you can say, well, they've got the SEC schedule. Hey, LSU's opening with Clemson, okay? Alabama's opening with Florida State.
Well, they got to watch how they schedule those preseason games.
Yeah.
I mean, you cannot expect any breaks come playoff selection time. If you're gonna be scheduling cream puffs like that.
No, it all goes in. Loose end number three, Jen Paywall, is going to become the first woman to umpire an MLB regular season game during the Braves and Marlins series. I did not know this, but I heard it yesterday. 28 years ago, a female referee in the NBA and 10 years in the NFL. Keith, do you think this is going to help with your demographics you were looking for?
Yeah. I mean, let's run with that torch.
Doug, I was the second I saw this, I thought of Pam Postuma and Larry Boa. You remember that action back when she was coming up? And I think she was in the Pacific Coast League, I want to say, and Larry Boa was managing like the Padres AAA team or something, and he was just merciless.
Yep.
I mean, of all sports, let's face it, I think a female umpire, it's the easiest of all the sports, umpire, to ref or officiate, right? I mean, you're calling balls and strikes. You just got to know the rule book. You got to call safe or out.
I did balls and strikes one time, and I couldn't wait for that night to end.
It was hot. It's hot. You can handle the weather.
I used a balloon protector, too.
But seriously, I mean, kudos to her. And I can see this opening up the floodgates for more female umpires in the sport. It's the least sexist sport. The baseball is the biggest group of babies, so they might need some motherly love.
And as I've already heard someone say, it couldn't be any worse than Angel Hernandez. So here's to you, Jen. Good luck.
Couldn't be worse than that guy that was behind the plate Sunday in the Cardinal Padre game. He was horrible.
Tom Mathis is not with us tonight, but we were playing wiffle ball, slow pitch wiffle ball one time, and I hit a ball, and his brother was pitching, and Tom reached up about a second after it went past him, and Dwayne said, "Are you fielding by sound?" And I think that guy was umpiring by sound on Sunday. That was pretty awful.
Oh, he was bad.
Our final loose end has to do with the fact, there was a little whispering, Keith, I would say whispering, that, hey, you know, the Cincinnati Bengals lease is up in 1 year and they haven't renewed it. Well, the Paycor Stadium, which if you'd have given me money to name the Bengals Stadium, I couldn't, but it's Paycor. I don't even know what Paycor is.
That seems probably something to do with finances.
Yeah, I'm going to guess they're a payroll thing. Anyway, the Bengals finalized an 11-year lease extension with them this past week and a $470 million upgrade, which I don't know what that buys you today. Maybe a few padded seats and a new scoreboard?
I think a new scoreboard takes up about half of that.
I agree. So anyway, it looks like the Bengals will be staying in Cincinnati for 11 years, Doug.
Who's the next city who's going to get an NFL team?
Man, that's a good question. Doug, what do you think? I'm going to say right now, if you have an idea on this, this is a great time to either put that in a tweet to us at the Sportists, STL Sportists, or go to our Facebook page and put it in the comments for this episode. Because, St. Louis, I will say, St. Louis is the largest city without an NFL team.
We'll take it.
Would they not go back? Would they not go back to San Diego?
Boy, San Diego would be a crowd pleaser. Oakland would be a sentimental favorite, but I don't know. They don't have a place to play, as we discussed with Bled. They don't have a place to play.
No one.
Right.
No one has unless it would be a place where you'd have a college stadium where you could play there until Nashville's got a team. Okay. Man, we really have to think about this one. This is what happened. Join us for the first edition of Stump the Sportists.
Yeah, that's it. To revisit that one next week.
We will. So anyway, we've got a homework assignment. And that wraps up our loose ends. We would like to remind you again, the St. Louis Sportists are brought to you by First Coast Steel Buildings,
We're very happy to have Jason and his team on board with us. You're going to hear a little bit more about them from Sandra Templeoff here in just a second. But right now, I want to tell you about the Local House Bistro. That's where Keith and I are coming from, and that is where I am getting yet another martini. See? Perfect timing. Thank you. So we are at the Local House Bistro. Keith, one of our favorite places. Yes. We spend a lot of time up here. It is excellent for football, in particular fantasy football. So if you're having a fantasy football draft, this is a place you might, because that's where our fantasy football draft is coming down here in a couple of weeks. They've got 7 TVs in the main bar area. They're larger. There's 1, 2, 3, 4 out there in the main dining area. There's 2 in here, and so you can gamble and watch your football at the same time. That's why America is the greatest country in the world. So come check all of this out. You will never miss a play at the Local House Bistro. Great menus, steaks, fish, appetizers, bar favorites, burgers, pizzas, lots of apps. I think I'm looking at my favorite burger tonight, Keith, which is that blue cheese and bacon.
Oh, yeah.
It's blue cheese and bacon, and then they just pepper it. It's amazing. So great group up here to take care of you. Tim, Holly, Whitney, Darian, and Dylan. We're here at 16524 Manchester Road. Eat local, drink local, and love local. It's the Local House Bistro.
Are you in the market for a barn dominium, house, garage, man cave, carport, or hobby shop? Wondering how to get started or where to go? Whatever you are looking to design, look no further than First Coast Steel Buildings. Give Jason and his team a call at 912-314-4848. They will guide you through the process, designing your building to fit your specific needs and budget. Call them today at 912-314-4848. Or get inspirational ideas and start designing your own by visiting them at firstcoaststeel.com. Again, that's the number 1, ST, coaststeel.com. Their low-cost buildings are fully galvanized steel, providing you with worry-free, low-maintenance requirements, integrity, quality, and a family-first approach. First Coast Steel Buildings. 912-314-4848 or firstcoaststeel.com. Discounts for military and first responders.
And we are back at the Local House Bistro, which I guess, Keith, tonight technically it is the Local House Bistro studio.
Yes, absolutely.
It is. Couldn't get more local than that. With Doug Lansdowne and Keith Farrell, I am Ron Cook, and we're going to move to a little football talk here. Doug, ESPN and the NFL Network, as our friend Joe Spurlin said, I forget if he said unholy alliance or how they're going to screw everything up. It was one of those two. But basically, ESPN now owns, or will soon own, the NFL Network, the Red Zone, and the NFL Fantasy Football operation. Doug, what's your big takeaway from all this?
I actually read a story that took me forever to read it. And I was more confused when I got done reading it because they get a revenue share too. So it's, and they said the biggest draw for ESPN was getting the fantasy rights from the NFL network.
So basically, they're taking away one of their largest fantasy competitors. After ESPN, you've got Yahoo, and that's about it, right?
Right. CBS Sports.
Okay. Yeah. But if you're looking at a pie chart, it's ESPN's probably going to have 80% of the fantasy business after this.
Right.
I'm shooting from the hip, but that's
huge. Don't belittle that. That's huge business.
Oh, the number of clicks? My God. Can you imagine how many clicks they get for their fantasy football on a Sunday and a Monday? Well, and a Saturday when you're setting your lineups. And then you go, hey, Mr. Advertiser, how would you like to get this many clicks just to advertise on our fantasy football site?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was. Right. But you remember when, just remember when NFL was on CBS and Fox. Then when it went to CBS, Fox, and ESPN. And And then it was just Sunday and Monday Night Football. And now it's Thursday, Sunday, and Monday. And then they're playing. They got this thing figured out.
Yeah. Yeah. And then Roger Goodell made the somewhat curious statement about having a red zone for college football, which we've kicked around a little bit.
I think it's brilliant. I don't know how they can cover 60 to 70 games in a day when it's busy enough just covering the games on the 14 games on Sunday. But it's brilliant. It's brilliant. Brilliant idea. I think it's a money machine.
Yeah. Doug, do you remember when you and I were growing up and there was one game on Saturday afternoon and it was Keith Jackson and either Frank Broyles or Ara Parseghian? And that was our college football for the week.
Yep. And that was it for sure.
One game.
Nothing else. Yeah.
And then there was the big event like at the last couple weeks of the season when they would do the doubleheader to cover the rivalries. So you'd have like Michigan, Ohio State in the morning and UCLA, USC in the afternoon. And man, that was
huge when they get the doubleheader. And that usually was towards the end of October, right? Into November. Yeah, we get a few doubleheaders.
Yep. Unbelievable. So football item number two, Mr. Shedeur Sanders, as we record this on a Thursday night, is getting a start. Although some reports have him as fifth on the depth chart for the Browns. Keith, they wouldn't cut him, would he? Would they?
That's a question. Yes. I think they would. I mean, again, he just adds drama. He's not going to add fans and seats.
It makes them more like a soap opera.
It makes them that they're well. I think they were honorable mention in the soap opera. But yeah, I can see him getting cut if he doesn't perform. I mean, yeah, absolutely.
Doug, it came out literally about an hour before we started to record this that his NFL jersey sales are reported to have reached $250 million, earning young Mr. Sanders a $14 million. Commission, which is actually separate from his NFL rookie contract. So I don't know. I think I could plan a decent rest of life if I got $14 million, you know?
Did you hear the owner last week when they were talking about the different quarterbacks and stuff like this, and they said something about Shedeur, and he said, well, that was the general manager's draft pick. Yeah, Jimmy Haslam said that. He said, well, that was the general manager's draft pick.
Oh.
Ooh. Yeah.
Wow. That gets back into the old Tony La Russa in the front office about, you know, well, gee, I fill out the lineup card.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Well, there's two arguments with the Shedeur thing. You know, people are saying, well, you put him out there, he's terrible, and then you can put him to bed. You can put that to rest and say, okay, we showed you he's out there against other people's third and fourth strings and he's terrible. So.
You know, it reminds me of that famous story in Three Nights in August where Kerry Robinson, who was a Cardinal player, a lot of people will remember, and a lot of people said, wow, he's pretty good, went in and was like telling La Russa he wanted more playing time. And he not only that, Keith, he deserved more playing time.
I loved reading that. And was it Three Nights in August?
Yeah. And do you remember La Russa's response to him? That
go find a team that's going to let you play every single night, and I'll trade you there.
And then he capped it off by saying, and I hope we play against that team often.
Yes, I hope we play against that team often. Yes.
Which has to be one of the greatest baseball burns in the history of the sport.
You know what's funny is I had a buddy that played golf with Kerry Robinson, and I said, hey, John, why don't you ask Kerry Robinson about the Tony La Russa thing?
He didn't come back with a response, so I'm sure he shied away from that. That's probably an excellent
story. Oh.
Yeah. So in Baltimore, they are replacing a kicker, which many people would say they needed to replace that particular kicker. I don't want to check the box, so we won't get into Mr. Tucker. But the Ravens are using Doug as a golfer. They're using TrackMan data on this kid, Tyler Loop, a rookie kicker out of Arizona. He's made one from 67, and there was a rumor he made a 75-yarder in Arizona. Doug, tell us about TrackMan. What exactly is that?
It tells you the launch angle. It tells you the speed at which it left. It tells you how far it will carry. It makes sense. It makes sense on you why you'd use it with a kicker. So, and it tells the probably the biggest thing I let this out. It tells you spin rate. So, you figure out how much that ball is spinning. So, but yeah, he's nailed like some long kicks, but I think he led Division I 2 years ago and missed field goals under 40 yards.
He's the new Greg Zuerlein.
It was something. It was like, 2 years ago, nobody would have even drafted him.
Right.
So, yeah.
Greg. So I think of him and I think of Brad Deluiso of the Giants, who after a while, they're like, why don't you just kick off? We're going to give up this field goal making thing. You just kick off.
Do you get better as a kicker?
Boy, that's a great question. Because, if you look back, this is my second when we were growing up. I'm starting to sound like old man shakes fist at cloud tonight. But, man, those kickers in the 70s, their make percentage was awful.
Yeah, well, the fields were also in worse shape. You think about field conditions and stuff like that, there was not nearly as many domes.
Right.
So, and of course,
and they were kicking off of dirt in some cases.
Oh yeah, yeah. And then you think about everybody's bigger, stronger, faster. So, but I do think you get better as a kicker because of the routine. You get that routine, and it's muscle memory, and you follow through, and you've got that because you see those guys that find their niche, and when they find a niche, they're successful for a long, long time.
Is that a physical thing or is that a mental thing, though?
I think it's mental.
Yeah.
I do. I think they find that routine that is successful, and they just go out there, they try it out, and they go through. That's what Vinatieri always talked about. He did the same thing every day in practice. He did the same thing every time before a game. So it's the routine.
And Doug, we can't have this conversation without mentioning Al Del Greco, who just turned out to be a shockingly fantastic golfer. And you couldn't watch one of my favorite events of the summer, which is that Lake Tahoe event.
The Pro-Am.
The one where they're throwing passes to the people off the boat on that par three. But Del Greco, they always would mention the similarities between the way a soccer kicker swings his leg and a golf swing.
Yeah.
So there you have it. I guess Jim Bakken would have been in bed. I never heard. Was he a good golfer or not? Terrific. He and Mark Mosley, right?
Just like Peyton says, he's just a stupid kicker.
Yeah. I believe Drunken was a stupid drunken kicker.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. So final football note here, Eli Hoff, who covers the University of Missouri-Columbia football program for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, today in a post, and I'm just going to read this verbatim, says there are no changes to the quarterback battle, that battle, of course, between Sam Horn and Bo Prabula. Drinkwitz had a radio segment with a station in Norman today, which I said was curious, and says there is no separation between the two quarterbacks. Hoff says it sounds like Prabula has been better some days and Horn better others. And he closed by saying Prabula with a 60-40 lead right now, but even that is not especially concrete. Doug, what was it John Madden said about quarterbacks?
If you've got two, you got none.
I remember like when Lou Holtz down at Arkansas occasionally would have like the runner and the it was like Burt Jones's brother. And you knew that every time he came in, they were going to pass.
Well, that Atlanta, who was that? The Atlanta, the Sean Hill and that duo. That was effective. Yeah. Really was. But I mean, that was, that was like NFL. You, I just don't know if they can pull that off. Listen, I also think this is showmanship. You know, this time of the year, it's way too early to let any cats out of the bag. I think there's probably a little bit of spice and sweetener on this thing just to throw it out there. And, you know, because if he did pick a quarterback, that would be news.
Oh, yeah.
At the stage of the game, too. So he's making sure he's going to have the right starter. I think this whoever he selects for game one is going to be your same starter in game five.
You know, are you suggesting Eli is being a cagey little polecat?
he's so fun. Yeah, he played in the Mizzou, just extended him.
Yeah.
So that's some good news.
Yeah.
Have a drink and wink.
Yeah. Had a baby.
Yeah, I think he's good for Mizzou. And, you know, to have a guy who's going to be there and not get, I mean, you don't see another, you know, top perennial top 10 team taking him away from Mizzou, do you? I think he's a Mizzou lifer.
Well, yeah, I think he's got the possibility to be like Pinkel, which is a phrase I never thought I'd utter in my life. but I think
I'd go out drinking one night.
Well, a heavy, heavy drinker.
He's following in the proud tradition of Woodenhofer, who beat Vanderbilt and then went out.
All right. Just want to get some clarification.
Made news. Yeah.
I think Horn wins the job because of his some intangible stuff there. Him wanting to come back, him wanting to be on that team, him wanting to lead that team. And you've always heard what a leader he was.
Right.
You know, I mean, I think he showed, you know, hey, okay, yeah, I got drafted by the Yankees and stuff, but I want to come back and have the opportunity to be the quarterback at MU.
So it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world if you had maybe Prabula comes in around the goal line or something, you know, which reminds me of what was going to be my quick hit that I didn't get to, and this will be our final football item of the night. The Louisiana State University is playing fast and loose, could potentially, with the redshirt rule. They've got a gentleman named Juwan Johnson, and he, in high school, had 171 touchdowns. Now you'd have to do some math to figure out
12 games a year.
All right. Juwan comes to LSU and they do in the proud tradition of LSU decisions, they made him a defensive back, which is the reason Marshall Faulk didn't go to LSU because they wanted to make him a defensive back. He's like, no, I want to carry the ball, and he went to San Diego State. Yeah.
And the rest is this.
We see how that turned out.
Good move.
We see how that turned out. So anyway, Juwan ended up on the offensive side of the ball last year after practically every single running back LSU had on scholarship got hurt in a matter of, like, the first two games. And so this year in the spring game, they use him in goal line situations, and he was basically unstoppable. But he's playing quarterback. Now, in case you haven't heard, LSU has a Heisman candidate quarterback in Garrett Nussmeier this year. So they have raised the possibility of using Juwan in four games, which you can do and retain your red shirt. And those four games could be Clemson, Alabama, Ole Miss, and then one near the end of the year, Arkansas or Ole Miss. Who knows which will be, or I'm sorry, Arkansas or Oklahoma. Who knows who will be the bigger threat at that time? Sam Pittman may be gone. Well, heck, both coaches there could be gone. So I had never heard of the red shirt rule being used like this, Doug.
No, and it's, I mean, you can see the advantages to it and everything. So, but I guarantee you, Brian Kelly did not come up with that idea.
I grudgingly have to agree with you.
Well, my first thought that came to my head was, well, LSU trade Nussmeier. And how close is college football from trade making trades? Don't give the NCAA any ideas.
Oh, my God. You know what they could do, Keith? They could trade them, and in return, you know, that new rule says every team or every college gets $20 million in NIL. Teams could trade their NIL for players.
There's lots, yeah.
Yep.
If this happens, ladies and gentlemen, you heard it here first. And I'm not saying it won't. So with that, Keith, let's very quickly talk a little City. They currently sit at 4-14. 4-14-6.
Yeah, it's certainly not the season that we expected.
After the owner said playoffs or bust.
Playoffs?
18 points.
Yeah, we have 10 games left in the season.
Mm.
We said it last week. You know, this season was hopefully one of those one-offs. You expected this in season one. A team that just hasn't been able to put it together with a core group of players. And I think there's going to be some major changes. I think players are playing for jobs. I think if you're any player on STL City FC, I think you're looking at a you better show some effort. You better show some heart. If you want to be in an MLS uniform next year, you better play your ass off, because I think everyone on this roster is vulnerable right now.
It's almost like Glengarry Glen Ross. All of you are fired. You've got 10 weeks to regain your job.
And you know something? We made the playoff in year one.
Stick knives.
Bring in another 22-person roster. You know, it can be done.
Just promote City 2. They're killing it.
Yeah.
City 2 is rocking.
Where do they play?
You know, the more I think about that idea, Keith, I kind of like it.
Where do they play? Where does City 2 play?
Oh, well, so think of them as like the Triple A team for St. Louis right. City. They play at Energizer Park, and they've got a few people. So you can kind of the MLS rules are, oddly, I think it's 4 games, just like the red shirt. You can have a temporary loan from City 2 up to the big team for 4. And after 4 games, you've got to offer them a contract.
And I'll say this much. You see those City guys come up, and there is 100% hustle.
Gosh.
I mean, they're banging. They're getting yellow cards. They're playing a system, and they outwork the guys that are on the City 1 roster. It's amazing. And you give me heart over skill any day of the week.
I love McSorley.
Oh, my God.
He can score. And we said Henry Kessler looked like he could start a bar fight at any second. I think McSorley goes out there with that idea. He plays with malice.
I bet you Kessler showers once a week.
You know, the fun thing is, I just think of this occasionally as we record these. We've got like 13 candidates for the title of this episode, you know?
Yeah.
At least.
Well, Kessler's, listen, on all seriousness, he's coming back from IL this week.
Mm-hmm.
He's one of my guys that I just love to watch. He had a tough job replacing Parker when Parker departed.
Mm-hmm.
And he just goes out there and just knocks people around. It's so fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
As a stopper like that, he's like a goaltender in hockey. You have to play with a loose screw because you're the last one back there.
Yeah.
And he punishes people. And you know,
and then he asks them if they like it the second they stand up. He'll like get right in their face. It's you know, Connery and the Untouchables. How do you think he feels now? Better or worse?
Better or worse?
So really quickly, we're unfortunately six points behind Kansas, which hurts my soul. We're 2 points ahead of the last place LA Galaxy. We're in something that they call in MLS the secondary transfer window, which runs from July 24th to August 21, which means we could see some moves here in the, you know, between now and you know, the next couple of weeks, we could see some moves. Nilsson is gone. I've accused some of the Cardinals of being porcelain. I don't know. He was Ming. He was a Ming Vase.
He was a porcelain mouse. I mean, poor guy. I mean, you know, soccer is a physical sport. It's a sport where we touched on this earlier, soft tissue injuries take a long time to recover from, and he was just under that umbrella of just on the IL a lot. And
In 3 years, I don't think he played 15 games.
No.
This is so bad. And they had kits for him when the season one started, like he was going to be one of our stars. Oh, well. So anyway, the city plays a very solid, very good Nashville squad this Saturday at Energizer Park. I, for one, will be there. One of our friends, Ron Klitsch,
is going to be there. Welcome back, Ron.
Yeah, Ron and Mel, welcome back.
Yeah, the traveling monkeys.
But, yeah.
So a couple notes. The Nashville goalie, I think, is a St. Charles high school graduate somewhere on the other side of the river over there.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's still in the Nets. He's doing a great job. Couple takeaways. St. Louis City's won 3 of their 4 games at home. and Nashville is, they're 14-6 and, they're .500 on the road. So this might be a pretty good matchup for City to capitalize on. And, Nashville, if you're going over the middle, watch out for Mr. Kessler.
Exactly. Oh, he's going to be back with, he will come home with a vengeance, even though he's not sunny. You didn't think there'd be a Sean Colvin reference tonight on the Sportist podcast, did you? And I think with that, it's time for the last call brought to you by the Local House Bistro, which is where we clearly are. Doug, what do you have for a last call?
Well, you know, Marv Levy turned 100. And, you know, he got his start coaching high school up there in your guys' neck of the woods. He got his master's from Harvard. And, you know, he had some good quotes, but probably my famous one was, or the one that I always liked the most was about Michelangelo. He said if he wanted to play it safe, he would have painted the floor of the Sistine Chapel.
Where else would you rather be?
I love that one, too, but I love the Michelangelo. He would have painted the floor of the Sistine Chapel. So, you know, shout out to Marv, 100. He's awesome.
And people forget that he coached his first NFL job was the Kansas City Chiefs, where he installed the wing tee offense.
The wing tee, yes.
And for you people that are Chiefs fans, this is a check for you. In case you can't identify the wing back in the Marv Levy offense, his name was Horace Belton. He wore number 35, and he would come around the back of the formation on every play. So you could either pitch to him, you could throw a check down pass. Horace Belton was kind of the man of the Kansas City Chiefs wing tee. And he brought down with him from Canada a punter / kickoff guy, which is one of my favorite names. Doug, you're laughing. You remember this guy's name, don't you? I'm making this up, and it sounds like a villain in a Fantastic Four. His name was Zenon Andrusician.
You know, he also, another one that I remember and I loved and everything, he said, the coach who starts listening to the fans ends up sitting next to him.
That is epic. And you know what? Believe it or not, Ali Marmal quoted that earlier this week.
Well, on a related note, there's a saying in hockey that is a crusher who thinks he's a rusher will soon be an usher.
I love that. That's Harold Snaps learned that very early. So, Keith Harold, what do you have for us?
Well, sticking with the hockey tone, just real quick here. Did a little research on the Blues preseason and where they're going to be ranked. One of my favorite places to go is the Athletic. The Athletic has the Blues at 14th. And in a playoff spot. I thought that was pretty cool. Yeah. They kind of ending where they left off last year. And boy, if they can have a second half like they ended with last year, who knows what this team can do? I think they can be at least top 5 in the West.
Yeah. And we're going to review our forecast for 2025, obviously, before the end of the year. And two of the most noteworthy prognostications in that was when Tom Mathis said the Blues would make the playoffs.
Yeah.
And I said someone else suggested the Blues would not.
Yeah. It took, I think, Trump getting elected, honestly, to move some things around and move some things around in the standings. I don't know.
Easy. We're treading deep water here.
I'm just saying.
Okay. Well, Keith Farrell actually segued into my exact last call. And my last call has to do with politics. And some of you remember Derek Dooley for wearing orange pants at Tennessee as their head coach. Son of the legendary Vince Dooley, who won a national championship and coached Herschel Walker at Georgia.
Georgia.
And the quarterback was Buck Ballou. And if there's ever been a better Georgia quarterback name, I don't think it's existed. I mean, that sounds like it's out of fiction from that period of time.
He couldn't throw it 10 yards either.
He could run and hand off.
Run and hand it off to Herschel, yes.
Doug, he was a game manager.
Yes.
But yeah, Buck Ballou sounds like it's out of fiction. The other name that sounds like it's out of fiction, and this is an aside, is Dansby Swanson, because I don't know how my wife and I started this, but anytime we see him in a game, one of us will go into a Southern accent and say, "I'm afraid she's fallen for Dansby." Anyway. But yeah, back to Mr. Dooley. He's running for Senate in Georgia against Mr. Warnock, who some people who know more about politics than me say is one of the most vulnerable Democrats in this upcoming election cycle. So if you're saying, wow, football coaches in politics, you've got to go to Mr. Senator Tuberville from Alabama, who is running for governor of Alabama. He's leaving the Senate, which many people say is one of the best jobs in the world, to run for governor. Perhaps some have speculated, and I can't believe I am forming this sentence, to bolster his presidential aspirations.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah. And you might say, okay, so who are two other people that might be involved in politics? And this is with reliable sources, I report. Apparently, Peyton Manning has been approached about running for Senate out of Tennessee.
Yep.
And has given it strong consideration. And although, Doug, if I'm Peyton Manning, do I really want to give up my current life?
Why would you? Why would you? Yeah.
To immediately have half the country hate you?
Exactly.
Yeah, the second you put an R or a D after your name, there's people that will immediately say, "I never liked him. He's terrible."
Yep.
And then the other one, and this has been long rumored, is Mr. Drew Brees, the Saints legend, who, I mean, they were talking about that while he was still playing. And, you know, he said that he had a desire to serve the public. He obviously, he and his wife, very charitable in New Orleans during his time with the Saints. So those are just a couple to watch, because we like to keep you on the leading edge of things here on the St. Louis Sports Podcast. And so this is where we remind you and ask you, if you enjoy this show, please like, rate, follow us. Did you know that if you click follow, you'll get a little ding if you want every time we drop a new episode, which is once a week?
Ding.
There you go. So with that, thank you so much for listening to this episode of the St. Louis Sports Podcast. We'll be back next week. Doug Lansdowne. Thank you, sir.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Couldn't have said it better, Mr. Farrell.
Cheers, everyone. See you next week.
And thank you again for joining us on this episode of the St. Louis Sports Podcast. Take care.
And that wraps another episode of the St. Louis Sports Podcast. Please like and subscribe to stay up to date on all the latest episodes. You can find these guys on all major podcast platforms. And thanks for listening.